We're going to look in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 8 down through 10, and then in chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to speak this morning on a subject that you've heard about, perhaps you never really thought much about, and that is the Tower of Babel. Look in verse 8. This chapter, Genesis chapter 10, it begins and starts out and gives the descendants of Noah. And verse 8 it says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar." Look in chapter 11, the first four verses. "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." You'll notice in verse 10 of chapter 10, we find what is called the Table of Nations. Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, and in the land of Shinar. Now, Shinar is what we know today as southern Iraq. Shinar is the region. Babylon is the city. Nimrod is the founder. And Babylon is the first city that was built following the flood. Nimrod, you'll notice, was one of the descendants of Noah, and his name means rebel. Look in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 11, and notice that we learn that all humanity is headed eastward where they settled in the land of Shinar. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. You'll notice that from these verses that who was leading the people there was a man by the name of Nimrod. Nimrod was leading all of humanity eastward where they found a plain in Shinar and the Bible says they settled there at the town of Babylon. Now Nimrod, the rebel, you learn from these verses, had led all humanity eastward with one purpose in mind. I want you to look at verse 4, this in chapter 11, verse 4 in chapter 11, and note how it gives three reasons why this city and this tower was built. You may think that's a little insignificant, but keep in mind that all of the Word of God is given by inspiration of God and is profitable unto us. And so notice he says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches to the heavens." There are three reasons why they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. You'll notice in verse 4, three things that are listed in that verse. One reason was they really wanted what everyone today wants. They wanted salvation. It says that let us come build ourselves a city and a tower, notice, whose top may reach unto heaven. So they wanted to build a tower that would get them into heaven. The text actually indicates that their thinking was this: we are here on earth, God is in heaven, and we're going to work our way to God. We're going to build a tower that gets us from where we are to where God is and to where we want to be. We really want salvation. We want to find a presence with God, but we're going to do it our way. You see, the mentality of Nimrod is still alive and well in the earth today. There are those today that want, you talk to anybody you want to about death, about the life you're after. Ask them the question, do you want to go to heaven when you die? They'll always respond, yes, and I plan to go to heaven when I die. Well, are you ready to go to heaven? Well, not now, I don't suppose, but I'm going to heaven when I die because I'm doing the very best I can. I'm living the very best life I know to live. I'm doing all that I know to do, and so I don't really feel that I've done anything wrong that would prevent me from going to heaven when I die. You see, that kind of mentality, that's the mentality of Nimrod, and it's very alive in our society today. You know, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many today are just doing everything they can. They want to work their way. They want to go by their good works, by their goodness, or whatever else. And they believe they're going to go to heaven because of that. If you don't believe me, read the obituaries. No one goes to hell. Everybody that's in the paper, that's in the obituary, has gone to be with the Lord. My friend, that just isn't the case. That is not so. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You see, the people of this day, and under the leadership of Nimrod, they thought they could build a tower that could get them into heaven. They thought they could obtain salvation on their own, by their own efforts, by their own works, but their works fell short. They wanted salvation on their own terms, and many like that today. They want to worship on their own terms. They want to feel that they're doing everything right on their own terms, regardless of what the Bible has to say about it. But the Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those words, come short, that's a measuring term. I mean, you compare yourself. Have you ever noticed how that people compare themselves with each other? And we'll always compare ourselves with somebody we stand head and shoulders above. We never compare ourselves in the manner that we ought to. But if you want to make a true comparison, spiritual comparison, compare yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect in every way, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another verse that reminds us that there's no way to go to heaven by our own merits, by our own works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. What is a work of righteousness? Well, there's a lot of emphasis today being placed on baptism for salvation. If you've been baptized, then you're all right, but with God, you'll go to heaven when you die. That's a work of righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I like what the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians. A man is not justified by the works of the law. There are those, I've kept the Ten Commandments. I've tried my best to observe all the commandments as best I know how. Observe all of them that you will. But the Bible says we're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The Word is very clear about that. There's no really scratching your head and saying, wonder what that means. It means exactly what it says. No flesh shall be justified by their own works. So they wanted salvation. That was one of the reasons why they built the Tower of Babel. But notice secondly, they also wanted significance. Note those words in verse 4. They said, let us make a name for ourselves. Now, let that sink in just for a moment. and think for just a little bit. Let us make a name for ourselves. You see, they thought that if I can make it to heaven on my own, then I'll be able to say to God, look how good I have been. I deserve to be here. I made it on my own. Making a name for themselves. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will, just for a moment. Because here, you'll find some of the followers of Nimrod. Jesus encountered some followers of Nimrod in Matthew chapter 7. I'll come back to the significance in just a moment, but note this now. Our Lord says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We need to ask ourselves sometimes, am I doing what I want to do, or am I following the will of God for my life? He that doeth the will of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils or demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. There it is, making a name for themselves. Then the Bible, Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friend, if God says, I never knew you, that means he never knew you as one that had believed on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He never believed you as being one of his own, having been saved through the precious blood of Christ. Of course, he knows all of us, but he never knew you as having been born again. What terrible words that would be to hear, to stand before our Lord and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. But yeah, I'm glad today that he knows me. He knows you if you're saved today. He knows that those that have been born again of the Spirit of God. So you see, they wanted significance. They wanted it for all the wrong reasons, however. Their motivation was pride. They wanted to make their own name great. Now, apply that today. Think just for a little bit. You know this, because we see this very idea, this mentality, in the realm of Christendom. You see it in denominational tags. Catholicism, for instance. A name for themselves. Now, you won't know this unless you're one of those that likes to visit and go soul winning and talk to people about the Lord. But ever so often, you will encounter somebody and you can talk to them about the things of God. And they very quickly say, but I'm Catholic. Well, so what? I'm Baptist, but I'm not saved because I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead, but that's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they want that name. They want the significance of the name. Mormonism is the same way. Talk to any of them. They'll very quickly remind you. They don't tell you they're saved. They talk about their denomination. You see the very same things in television many times. Television ministries are gigantic. They're tremendous because of simply trying to make a name for themselves. They wanted significance. They wanted to be known. They wanted to be a head and shoulders above everyone else. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, notice what he said, I will make thy name great. Great. How is he going to do that? Greatness comes by being in a right relationship with God. That's greatness. Being in a right relationship with God. In fact, you remember in the New Testament, Jesus sent the 70 out, And he said to the 70 that he sent to preach, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, that's certainly significant. That would certainly make a name for them. But notice what he says. But rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's why you rejoice, because of our right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Revelation chapter 20 just for a moment. Revelation chapter 20. Here, Jesus describes in graphic detail the judgment of those who are following the path of Nimrod, those who want to make a name for themselves. Notice what he says. God allowed John, he pulled back the curtain of time and he allowed him to look into the future. And he said, I saw the dead. The dead there is a reference to the unsaved. Paul writing to those in Ephesus, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. You hath he made alive who were dead. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The significant, the insignificant, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And watch this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Those are the ones that have followed the path of Nimrod, wanting salvation through their good efforts, through their works, wanting a name for themselves, will end up at the white throne judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to be at that judgment. You do not want your children to be at that judgment. You do not want your grandchildren to be at that judgment, because that is the judgment of the sinner, where they're cast into the lake of fire because their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. But let's notice the third thing. They wanted salvation by their own terms, their own ways, their own ideas. They wanted significance. They wanted to make a name for themselves. But then they wanted security. Notice what it says. Lest, in the latter part of verse 4 of chapter 11, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they wanted salvation on their own terms. They wanted significance by making a name for themselves. And now they want security, lest they be scattered over the face of the whole earth. You see, the need to feel secure is a common theme for all mankind. But God had already designed a plan that would enable them to feel secure. Look in chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Verse 7, and you, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So there was the security that God provided for them. What God intended for good, they saw as a threat. In essence, they said, we don't like your plan, God. We've got a better one. Our plan is to stay together in one place, and that is where we will find our security. We refuse to be scattered over all the face of the earth. Babylon is the first city built after the flood by a man whose name means rebel, Nimrod. The very character of the city is pride. It's a city that shakes its fist at God and say, we don't need you, we don't want you, and we're not going to do it the way you want. We will do it without you. And today, man is trying to get along without God. May I say that the Bible says it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. It's foolish to try to get along without God. And so man is trying to do that today. Humanity, in general, has rejected the way of God as a means of getting from earth to heaven. But notice what Jesus said. And people have tried to interweave other things into this today. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Note those definite articles. He didn't say, I am a way plus others. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man. That includes the up and outer and the down and outer. That includes the upper crust and those that have no crust. That includes all of us. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know who the upper crust are, don't you? That's just a bunch of crumbs held together by their dough. But many people today are trying to say, well, you know, there are people preaching this today. There is more than one way to heaven. Not according to the Word of God, there is. You come through Jesus Christ, or you do not come at all. And Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Isn't it sad? But it seems that the majority of humanity is traveling the broad way that leads to destruction. How sad that is. They've rejected the way of God that leads to eternal life, and they have chosen the way of man that leads to destruction. I'm here to tell you, friend, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to come God's way. You've got to come repenting of sin. Believing that Jesus Christ was God's only sacrifice for the remission of your sins. Believing that He and He alone can save you by a marvelous grace. It seems that everyone wants to go the other way. Man's always been that way. Rejecting the way of God. Going the way of man. And today many are still on the way that leads to destruction. You'll notice in verse 5 down through verse 9, I'll not read the verses of chapter 11, but it tells us this, and I close with this. You'll notice that God scatters the nations. He confounds the languages, and every nation of the world today, now here's what I want to emphasize. Every nation of the world today can trace its roots from the city of Babylon. That was the first city built following the flood. And that is the place that spawned all the problems that we are experiencing in our lives today. You continue to try to go the way of Nimrod, then those that continue in that direction will end up at the white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus said, and He says it lovingly, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And I like the emphasis, no man. That means the president, that means the pauper. It doesn't matter who it is. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you're serious about wanting to go to heaven, then be serious enough to trust the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him and be saved. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed? The pastor is coming. I'm going to ask him to take care of the invitation, but every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do not know Him today, come and trust Him as your Savior. There's nothing better that can happen to your life on this Lord's Day than to go away rejoicing because your name are written in heaven.